So, hey, friends, welcome back to another episode of It's Usually Black and White, the podcast. It's me, Sharita.
And Nicole.
And we are back on this Wine Wednesday to talk about all the things.
Yes, and we have a lot to talk about. So grab a glass and let's go.
Friend, how was your new year?
Oh my gosh, it was so, you know what? I was really proud of myself. We did the same thing we always do. We stayed home. Mm-hmm. But this is the first new year I woke up with no hangover. I was
How'd that happen?
I don't know, because I had a bottle and a half of red wine and a whole half bottle of bubbly all to myself. I don't know. It must have just been the grace of God knew that I needed my year to start off swell. Mm-hmm. I did pace myself a lot longer than I usually do. Mm-hmm. But we always stay home. My youngest has her friends come over. She has a sleepover. So it's mostly about the kids. I give them the basement. They do their thing. I talked on the phone and drank wine. My husband watched football. We toasted the kids at midnight with their grape juice. And then I went to bed. So, but awesome. It was a good time. I enjoyed myself.
Yeah. Yeah, I did something a little different this year. My mom is in town. So my uncle, her brother, had this big family, almost like a family reunion type of get together. He rented a hall and there was a ton of food and all of the family came. All of my cousins came. We typically stay home and do appetizers with my in-laws and the kids and just bring in the new year together. But since my mom is here, she lives in another state. We decided to go ahead and go in, almost not support her, but, you know, go hang out with the family. The party was in her honor since she lives somewhere else. So that was fun. We went and my husband and I, my daughter wanted to stay home. So we took our contribution to the party was we took probably like four or five different types of alcohol. I had my cup with my wine in it. Had fun. We stayed until the party was from like 7 to 2 a.m. But, you know, my kid was at home and we always bring in the new year as a family. So we stayed and we made it home till at about 11:40, which was right on time. She poured her sparkling grape juice and my husband poured some champagne and I was over drinking. So I had some water, some ice water. And we all toasted and took a family pic and we all went to bed right after that. So that's how we brought in our new year. It was a good time.
That's perfect. We used to go out all the time, we'd always go to a nice dinner and then we'd go to a friend's house for a house party. We never really did the bar thing much.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But I do have to say, I really don't miss having to get dressed up and go out in the cold. I'm just kind of at that age where I'm like, I want to be in my sweatpants,
girl,
inside where it's warm and eat chicken wings and cheese dip and just drink and not wear makeup.
And sit on the toilet. I say that all of the time.
The best sit on the toilet? Yes. Oh, I get what you're saying. I thought you meant like all night. I'm like, girl, you got to switch up your snacks because something ain't right.
No, Heffa. No. So you know how when you go out, you got to squat. Because you're a girl and you're not trying to sit on anybody else's toilet unless you're at a friend's house. But if you go to the bar, you can't sit on the toilet. That's nasty. You got to squat. And my legs just aren't built for that anymore. Like I don't got those mega knees anymore. So I like to be at home, drink my, you know, buy the bottle and then sit on the toilet when I need to go to the bathroom. Because, you know, once you go to the bathroom, you got to go every 5 minutes and pee for 20 minutes at a time. So that's the best part of being out or being at a friend's house. You don't have to get dressed.
These are things that the young listeners need to really pay attention to. You're going to get to our age where we're excited about sweatpants, being by the bathroom and sitting on the toilet. That's what your life is going to come to, okay?
You know, they're too young right now. They don't appreciate that yet. They still have those mega knees. They still have the energy to party until 3, go to work at 7. You know, I'm not there anymore. Now when I drink, and if I drink a lot, like I'm in bed for 2 days, I do not bounce back the way I used to. I used to could just party all night, drink 2 bottles of wine by myself and go to work and be good. And now
right.
it doesn't happen like that anymore. I'm old out here, y'all. 40 is different. It's real different.
Yeah, it's very different. All the things that I used to be so into, I'm like, gosh, that just requires so much work and preparation.
So much work. And 9 times out of 10, once I'm at the destination, I'm ready to go as soon as we walk in.
Mm-hmm.
And my husband, like anytime we go somewhere for dinner, he doesn't want to order a steak anymore because he's mastered making steaks, like grilling them or however. So he's like, I'm paying $45 for this steak. I can go get a great steak for $10, $15, $20 at Hy-Vee and make it myself. So that's what we have, what you young listeners have to look forward to. You're careful right. about where you spend your money.
Uh-huh. And I agree with that. I mean, and to be honest with you, I say that all the time when we go out to eat. I like my husband's steak on the grill better than 90% of these mm-hmm. restaurants. So I'll go for like the salmon or the chicken or the pasta. I don't really even order steak anymore.
Yeah. And that's how I am with salmon, because I love salmon, but I make it and I've pretty much perfected it at my house. So it's hard for me to even buy salmon now. So we're kind of both like that. We don't want salmon and we don't want steak anymore. We bougie out here. We make our own.
We'll all just go to Little King then.
I love Little King.
Just go have a sandwich, because none of us are making sandwiches like that at home. I can tell you that.
Yes, girl. So tell me about some New Year goals.
Yeah. So
do you believe in New Year goals?
No, because everyone fails by February 1st, if not before then. So I don't really believe in New Year goals as far as, oh, this year I'm going to lose this many pounds, or this year I'm going to save this amount of money in my savings account, because life just happens.
Mm-hmm.
So I have decided my New Year's goal this year, or resolution, whatever you want to call them, is going to be just making healthier decisions and being more active. Because I know that I can be accountable for that. And I'm not putting myself in this bubble that, oh, if I step out of line once today, I've thrown away the whole week and now I've ruined everything. And then you beat yourself up and then you just throw the towel in. And why put that much pressure on yourself? If you're making healthy choices 90% of the time and you're being active, my whole thing is I just want to be healthy and mm-hmm. be around for my kids. You know, I'm getting to an age where we really have to start thinking about that now.
Right.
And our nutrition and our activity level and our checkups and making sure the heart's good and all of these things. So that's where I'm at. I'm trying to be healthy. I'm trying to be active. And actually, also, I'm trying to be more in tune with my spirituality, like being more dedicated to going to church and getting back into that, because I've had a lot happen in my life that made me step away from that for a while. Mm-hmm. And I'm ready to dive back in, because I've also had a lot of my life happen in the last few years that have told me, girl, you need Jesus. So mama's coming back.
And we all need Jesus. I can feel that.
Yes.
So some of my New Year's resolutions, I mean, I feel you on the whole, you don't really mess with resolutions or goals because you usually do stop them by February 1st. I feel that 100%. But I'm somebody who I like to have like something that I'm working towards. So I won't say that it's that I'm having New Year's resolutions or goals. It's just things that I want to do more of in 2023. That's how I've been kind of thinking about it over the past couple of days. So I just want to make more time for, I love to go out with friends, brunch, lunch, wine, whatever, even just coming to sit in somebody's living room or they come sit in my living room and just chat. I want to kind of reach out to more of my friends or people that I don't hang out with a whole lot. Just start to broaden my friendships more, make deeper connections with people. I want to get really good at this job that I have. I've been working there almost 2 months now. So I want to get to where I start to feel useful in my position and, you know, grow that way. I want to read more. I'm a big reader. Last year, I read 28 books. So I, you know, bumped it up to 50 because I found that reading is my most favorite thing to do. I love to listen to books while I'm cleaning, driving, and I also love to sit with a physical book. So I'm trying to find things that bring me joy and things that make me feel good. So those things include, of course, hanging out with friends, reading, and then we have a weekly date night. We do that every single week, and I want to keep that up. And that is usually just me and my husband, but sometimes we'll do, we call it a family date night if my kids are around. And then just we all go do something. I want to have deeper connections this year. So that's what I got.
I love that. And when you say working towards a goal, also, I actually, speaking of that, I had done the early bird run during the thick of COVID in 2021, April.
What's that?
It is a 10-mile race, and it's sponsored by Early Bird, which is a like a brunch lunch restaurant here in
I
Omaha.
love that place. Yum, yum.
Yes. So when you finish the race, you get brunch and mimosas, and you get a medal and you log your time. I mean, it's a real race. And I did that, and I haven't ran ever since because 10 miles, Lord Jesus, let me tell you, my body was just done. Okay.
I could never.
But then I was thinking, and I'm like, I miss how I felt when I ran. It wasn't always, while I was running, I wasn't like, oh, this is so joyful and amazing. I was like, I'm gonna die. When is this over? But afterwards, I would always feel good and I always had energy for the day and I just felt better about myself. And then when I actually ran that 10 miles and I was not the last person through the finish line, and I had never ran a race before and I just went for 10 miles. I really felt like a good sense of accomplishment.
Good.
And so I wanted to do it again. So I'm gonna do
Yeah.
it,
Do it.
but
Keep us posted.
I will keep you posted. So I'm not actually running with Early Bird this time because I had injured my knee last time and I don't want to register and then halfway through not be able to possibly get through the race.
Sure.
So I'm going to run it on my own, but I'm still going to do the full 10 miles. I'm going to go all out as long as I can make it. So I started training today. I ran 1.5 miles.
Good
I
for
used to
you.
run, thank you. I used to run a 7-minute mile. No, 1.5 took me 19 minutes today. So we got a lot of
Okay.
work to do.
Hey, you got to start somewhere, and that is way better than what I can do. So kudos to you.
So I will keep you guys posted on that.
Yeah, good job. There's one thing about you is you've always been somebody who you can set your mind to something working out wise and crush it. It's just something you've always done. So I know you can do this. You're going to be great. Congrats to you. Kudos to you. Because like I said, I could never. I had a goal of walking for 30 minutes on my treadmill during work, and that lasted for a week. So you are
Hey, but that was one week that you didn't
inspiration.
have, right?
Hey, yes, I love that positivity. That's all I had. That's all I had in me. Maybe once I'm done studying for all these certifications and this stuff that's taken over my life, I'll feel like walking again. But right now, I'm not there. I'm not there right
Walk
now.
on your treadmill while you watch Netflix.
No, I can't. I
No.
used to want to, I tried a couple times, watching Love and Hip Hop, and it's just not the same. I don't know. You would think so. Like, that was the whole point of putting the treadmill in here and hanging the TV so that I can just walk while I watch my shows. But I've discovered that I prefer to lay down and watch my shows with my
That
phone in
is
my
the best
hand.
way.
Yes, it's the only way. That's what I'm discovering. Perfect. So, I've got a couple of things. I was watching Dr. Phil, and it was the most interesting episode. And I couldn't stop watching it. So the episode was about censorship on social media and keeping things PC. So it was about this black lady. I don't know, she was at some college or somewhere, she was getting some schooling, very put together, very educated young lady. And she kept getting reported at this school about being professional because of the things that she was posting on her personal Instagram and Twitter. So they showed a few of the pictures and she's just sexy. Like there was nothing hanging out, like too bad. I mean, you see women with low cut shirts, whatever. It wasn't even anything like that, but she would have like she has this face pose that she does where she looks really cute and then she like sticks her tongue out to the side. So it does look a little provocative, like if you take it that way. I didn't think it was that bad, but somebody reported her. And so she got this warning from her job or from this school. I didn't really put together if she worked at the school or if she was a student, because today she's a pharmacist. So I'm not really sure when this took place or what happened. But somebody reported her and she got a warning that said that she wasn't being professional on social media. So she said to them, what wasn't professional? And they never gave her anything. They just said, somebody reported it. We agree. It is what it is. So then she was like, okay. So, excuse me. She started, being very careful, trying to be very careful. And then about a year and a half later, she got reported again. And this time they called her in and they wrote her up and they were like, you're going to be expelled from this, I don't know, program, school, whatever, if you do this again. And she said, I need you to show me what it is that is unprofessional. I need you to tell me what I'm doing, and I need to see where it is in like your protocol that I can't do these things. And they weren't able to do anything. So long story short, they end up like terming her or kicking her out. And so she went to like the dean or somebody else, and basically they said, no, you can come back. We're not going to term you for this. Basically, like there's no cause or no reason because nobody can give this lady any answers on why. So she's back doing her thing and she's there. And now she's taken out this lawsuit against this place, just for giving her a hard time, basically. So what are your thoughts on that? Do you think that if it's your personal, like Facebook or Instagram, Twitter, whatever, if it's your personal thing and you're not wearing like your work shirt or anything that represents where you work, do you think that your job has any type of say so over what you post?
This is a good question for me because my husband's a teacher and I'm also a business owner. So these are two things that him and I both have to be aware of. Him more so than myself because I work for myself, but I still know that I have people out there who are watching me, and the things I talk about or the actions I make on social media could make or break a decision of someone doing business with me, depending on their outlook on how I'm presenting myself. So I have to be careful with that. I think it makes sense that you need to have a protocol in place for people to remain professional because regardless, if you're in a school setting and you're dealing with children or whatever type of business, that you are associated with, regardless if you're at work or not, you're still a representation of that company. And I think that the protocol, though, definitely needs to be made known. Like, this is exactly what's okay. This is exactly what isn't okay. So that's my problem with what's going on with her situation, is that she wasn't given XYZ of what you can do and what you cannot do. And it should have been made very clear in black and white, wink, wink. And so that she would know exactly. And so to me, the fact that she didn't know exactly what she was doing wrong, so then how can she correct it if she's not aware of what is wrong, says to me that she really wasn't doing anything that wrong, and she had some haters that were just trying to put her in a bad position because for some reason they didn't like something about her. Maybe they were jealous about her. I would never have enough time in my day to report anybody for what they're wearing on their social media, nor care. Unless you're harming children or, doing, hate stuff or, racist things. I mean, there's no reason for me to even care about what you're doing on your social media. But I also think that it's very wise for people so they don't get into these traps when you're in a professional setting and you know that that could be an issue, to just create a different name for social media and don't put it under your actual government name. And then people can't find you and make your page private. And the only people that have access to it are the ones that you allow to have access, and they can't search you because they don't know what that name is. So that is my input.
Yeah, I like that. I agree. I think that there has to be, you know, some type of language or something written that I sign off on that says what I can and cannot post. Now, me personally, I don't post that kind of thing anyway. That's just me being who I am. But if you do it, you know, you do you. I don't care. Like you said, I don't have the time or, you know, bandwidth in my brain to care about what you're posting, unless it affects me personally, which is 99 times out of 100, it doesn't affect me. So you do you. But in her situation, I feel like she's almost being picked on, or like you said, had a hater. So something that they talked about was just what is offensive. And just because you're offended doesn't mean that it's offensive, because everybody has their own, you know, like judgment or just how they weigh things. So her pictures, the pictures that we saw, you know, no big deal. But I mean, who knows what else is on her page? But I don't think it's that big of a deal, especially if it's your personal page. Get off of my page. That person should, this girl, she should have, like you said, private page. And I do like the idea of a different type of name, even if it's like your first name and your middle name. I see that a lot. It really stinks for her. But kudos to her for going after them and saying, you know, you're not giving me all of the information. You've made my life, you know, a living hell over the last couple of years or so. So I'm going to sue you. So, I mean, that's pretty ballsy, especially that she's still with the company. So good for her. But that does bring me to the next question. There are a lot of people who are canceled or get in trouble for things that they post. Like, you see the TikTok videos that go viral because, like, let's say a white woman uses all of these racial slurs, and somebody finds her and reports her to her job, and she loses her job. Do you agree with that?
I mean, yeah, I kind of do, because it's such a touchy subject.
Mm-hmm.
It is kind of one of those things to me that isn't always black and white. But again, you have to be aware of how you're presenting yourself. And here's the thing. Social media has become such a huge part of life, and it has put so many platforms out there, and people, anything you do could wind up on a video without your knowledge. Mm-hmm. And you could just go viral within seconds, and the whole world, before anybody on the street that saw you, okay, that's who saw whatever happened. Now, someone's got a phone in their hand, they're going to take a video of you, and the whole world within minutes can see what you've done. And there's no denying what you've done. So I think that people really need to take responsibility with that. And if you are that type of person and you're going to be doing those types of things, then maybe you shouldn't be that type of person. But if you are, know when to act like that and when not. Know your audience. And when you're out and about, just know somebody may be watching how you are presenting yourself, and that may come back to bite you in the ass. I think that we have to be so much more cautious of how we carry ourselves today than ever before, because of that reason. And so you have to just always be aware. And I'm guilty of it. I mean, there have been times where I have like been pulling, you know, down the street to go into my business, and someone cuts me off, and I'm like, bitch, blah, 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 freaking out. And then my, you know, good angel on the shoulder kicks in and says, girl, you better hope she ain't coming into your business and your next client for the day, you know, because I don't know. And I'm like, shit, what am I doing? Thank God I have tinted windows. But So again, it's hard to do sometimes, but you really have to just, you have to be responsible for yourself. And if you're the type of person who is going to do shitty things and say shitty things, then you have to suffer the consequences of who you are. And you're just going to have to suck it up and deal with it and maybe present yourself as a better person next time.
Yeah, for me, I think it depends on what the person's job is and what the video was about, what they did. Like if you're doing some racist stuff and you're out here a community volunteer or something like that, like you can't be out here. And hopefully that person would just bow out gracefully. You shouldn't be out in the community supposed to be doing good things, and you really have like a black heart or a racist heart. So for me, it depends on what the offense is and what they do for work. Somebody on Dr. Phil, some therapist or some guy, a lady had said that. She said that, you know, she sees these viral videos and then she sees people get fired for it. And she's like, yeah, way to go. You know, we got one. And the guy was like, but what does that solve? And, you know, I really thought about that. Like, that's true. Yeah, that person probably should have lost their job, but what does that solve? Like, they still have a hateful heart. It's almost like those people, I wish we could just sit them down and get them some type of counseling or show them why their behavior is bad. But, you know, and then there's a part of me that's like, that is your consequence. When you do bad things or you're a bad human, you do get consequences. So I guess I'm kind of all over the place. I guess for me, it's not black or white. It's gray. It just depends on the situation, because I really can't see both sides.
Yeah. And two, regardless of what you do for a job, you still have coworkers, right? So whether you're working in the community or not, you may be working with a group of people who are the people you were talking about. And then how are that's they true. Supposed to feel comfortable working next to you every day?
Yeah. Yeah. That's true too. Yeah. See, I can see all of these things. I get it. Like, I really don't have a good answer. Yeah. It's a case by case thing, but I guess I didn't even think about your coworkers or people that you offend. I mean, I've been in that situation before where people have said shitty things and then, oh gosh, she's black, or not you though. Like these black people over here, but not you. So I've been there. So I know how that feels.
You're the exception.
Yeah. I've actually had that said to me several times before. And I'm like, oh girl, yes. Yes. I have a guy who said, I talk really well to be black. I don't talk like the black people he knows. Yeah, wow. I could go on and on. We could do a whole episode about that. So Anywho, yeah, as kind of a transition from that, kind of goes along with this. Also, they were talking about emoji etiquette. Did you know that they are going to start taking away some of the emojis because they are offensive? Can you believe that?
You know what? I can believe that, because of course. God mm-hmm. forbid if somebody on this planet gets their feelings hurt. And I'm really worried for all of the adults that we're going to have running around one day that have absolutely no coping skills because they've spent their whole life never having to have their feelings hurt. Because when you become an adult, everyone around you is going to cut your throat and hurt your feelings. And if you don't know how to deal with that, because everybody's always guarding you from it. I mean, now the emojis are offensive. I can't.
Yes. Let me tell you a couple that are offensive. The thumbs up emoji. The red heart emoji. And then, you know, that emoji that's like, okay, with like your thumb and your pointer finger. And then the three, like almost like a bunny. Like if mm-hmm. you were doing. So that's offensive. Oh. The green check mark emoji, the poop emoji.
I'm offended by that. I don't like the poop emoji.
I love that emoji.
So nasty.
The crying eyes emoji. And then the monkey covering the eyes emoji. The lips emoji, and the emoji with the wide smile that's kind of like a yikes or a eek. You know, do you know which one? Mm-hmm. I'll post them in the group.
Yeah,
oh, and then the clap, the hands clap one, like the two mm-hmm. hands clapping together. Those are all canceled emojis. Now, so some of the reasons, it's like you're reaching for stuff, like you're finding things. So like the thumbs up emoji, that's offensive because basically you're saying like, okay, whatever. And
so the middle finger isn't offensive, but the thumbs up is. Does our society make sense?
I mean,
there's a middle finger emoji.
But I think that is what it's supposed to be, though. I think these other ones are kind of like people are using it passive aggressively. I don't know who these people are.
I mean, there's an actual middle finger, though. I mean, how is that not more offensive than a thumbs up? If you're so sensitive that you think somebody giving you a thumbs up is giving you the middle finger, who gives a damn?
It's to your point, though, that people are just super sensitive. So they're saying it's basically the recipient of it is thinking too much or worried too much. Like, oh, I just wrote this long, heartfelt, you know, message, and they just gave me a thumbs up.
I do
you
that.
You know, like, I do that too. But I don't like to, though. I don't like to, but I do use thumbs up just to say, hey, I acknowledge this. I see this, but I'm doing something else, or I'm keeping it moving mm-hmm. type of thing. But yeah, girl. So that is a good point, though, about people just being sensitive and stuff. And you hear that a lot on TV. You know, even in real life, like with sports, everybody gets a participation.
I hate that.
Participation trophy. Do you?
I do hate it. I'll tell you why I hate it. Because it doesn't teach children that sometimes someone's just going to be better than you, and that's life. And it doesn't teach you how to deal with it when that happens. And it also doesn't teach the children how to, or people, if you want to get better, like this person who won a first place trophy, then you need to work harder. Watch what they're doing. Strive for more. Let me tell you, when my kids were in elementary school, their track and field day was running around, playing a parachute game, and blowing bubbles. When we were kids, we had real relay races. We had real long jumps. Mm-hmm. And you had to win medals. And you did that shit in front of everybody. And didn't nobody want me on their relay team? Because I was not passing the baton. I wasn't getting down there. I didn't care. I couldn't long jump to save my life. I got nowhere near that sand. And I never won a single trophy. And I never wanted to do it. But it didn't kill me.
And look at how much of an asshole you are. Maybe you would, if I can talk. See, look, I can't even read you right now. If you had a participation trophy, you might be nice.
Well, you know, I'm nice to, you know, I evolve with my environment. Okay. I evolve with my environment. So
I'm just joking, y'all. Don't come for my head. I'm just teasing.
I'm nice sometimes, but here's the thing. No, if I would have gotten the participation trophy, I wouldn't now be in my 40s training for a 10-mile run.
Yeah, you would.
No, look, I wouldn't. For what?
School trophies.
It has nothing to do with school. It's what you're in those formative years when the mind is still developing. You're already instilling in those children, you don't have to work for this because you're going to get the same thing everybody else is getting, regardless of how hard you work. I mean, you don't have to, but that is 100,010 times how I feel about that. I hate it. I can't say that.
No, you can't.
If you say you disagree, I can't say, well, you don't have to, but I totally, that's how I feel about that.
No, you can. I'm just messing with you.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant like slow down, like we need to edit that because you said that or something.
No, I'm just saying like, whoa, calm down. Okay. Listen, everybody can get a participant. That is not my word tonight. Everybody can get a participation award in my eyes, but the true winners should get a big trophy. So with the little trophies, I don't know. I'm not a sports mom. Do the actual winners get something different?
No.
Everybody gets the same thing.
We're in select sports. We don't get participation trophies. Okay, so you have to work and win.
Well, then that makes sense. But for mm-hmm. everybody who does track and field day, everybody gets a something.
think they don't, but that's the thing. They don't have track and field day anymore. You go to different stations and you, I'm not exaggerating. They blow bubbles. They do bubbles. Or they,
and what am I paying for? Cause I always get these spend $10 for every mile little Johnny.
Oh, the
suit.
Fun Run?
Yeah. Isn't that the same thing?
Oh girl, the Fun Run. Okay. So they run 10 laps. No, it's not the same thing. That's something that the schools will do to like raise money for the school. And then the kids just put on a t-shirt and run 10 laps around the playground. That's what you're paying for.
Do they get a participation reward?
No, they get a t-shirt that says I did the Fun Run, which is fine. And that's cute and that's okay. And I'm not like necessarily, I don't know. It's so hard for me because I do have a child who's
you
in
have
select
a
sports.
Kid. Absolutely. And I she's do. Great. And I get it because if
but
my
I also
kid
have
were
a kid
awesome, I would want them to have what they deserve as well. But then I think about little Johnny who sucks, but is out there and everybody else is better. But little Johnny shows up every week and gives it his all and he stinks and I run better than Johnny. But he comes every week and he's ready to go and he's there. How come little Johnny doesn't get something?
Well, I mean, was a little
work,
Johnny.
Well, at work, you know, you've got a team of 20 people and you're amazing and you do amazing work and you get all of your stuff done. But, you know, our friend over there, Kim, who doesn't do anything and calls in every day, she makes the exact same amount of money that I do. Well, you know how that goes. But she gets to make money and she gets to do her thing. And, you know, when we get recognized as a team, Kim is invited. Are we going to say, no, Kim, not you either? I mean, that's how I wish it was, but that's not how it is.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody gets a something. You just got to show up. Whether that's right or wrong, that's just what it is.
Yeah. And I think showing up says a lot. But I also think that, little Johnny's mom should find something that he really excels at and quit forcing him to do something that
but
just,
Johnny
he's
wants
not
to come.
Johnny don't want to come.
So you,
you know how
Johnny,
many little Johnnies I know? There are so
Johnny
many children
wants to be there.
There are so many children that I have witnessed on these sports teams that literally hate being there every moment of their life. And their parents are forcing them to do these things because they're living through their kids and they hate it. They're not good at it. They don't like it.
That kid should definitely get the trophy then. Definitely. Just because they are showing up because their parents made them and they don't have a choice. I feel you. I feel what you're saying, especially for those of you who don't know, her kid is a beast in everything she does. What, softball, basketball?
Soccer, but she just stepped away from soccer for the first time since she was four.
I mean,
she's 11
this
now.
This kid is literally amazing. I'm not just saying that. So I get why you were passionate about that, because if that were my kid, I'd be like, no, she deserves this trophy. But I do think little Johnny deserves a trophy too. Even just a little something like, hey, thanks for coming. You know, like good work being here. Because that says something too, because even if they're not good at the sport or good at what they do, just showing up and fulfilling a commitment is something else that we need to teach our kids. Because I know something that I'm guilty of is letting my kid do all of the things because she's interested in it for 2 seconds, but then like a week into it, she's over it because it sounded like a good idea at that time. And something that I do now is like when you sign up for something or you make a commitment to do something, whether you like it or not, even though it's costing me an arm and a leg most of the time, you got to finish it. But I have let her in the past, like, okay, you're not feeling it. It's costing me an arm and a leg. Yes, you can quit. But as she gets older, you know, I'm like, no, if you're going to say you're going to do something, you got to follow that through, because now she's at an age where she has to know just because it's hard or I don't like it anymore, I can't just walk away from it because I said I'm going to do it. So I'm trying to start to teach her those things now. And she's really good about that now. She's found her thing. So we don't really go through that anymore. But there is something to say about showing up and fulfilling your commitment. Now, if little Johnny truly does hate it, then no, Johnny should not sign up next year. But this year he did. He was there and he gave it all he got. Give that boy a trophy. Drops the mic. Black and white on that one.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess if Johnny's like 6 years old, but if Johnny's 13, I mean, he's got to have... My whole thing is, it's not about who's winning and who's not and who's showing up and who isn't, because my thing that I look at is, at what point do we start to teach our children that no matter how much you want it, no matter how, you know, hard you work or how little you work, there's always going to be something better or someone come along that's better than you in whatever, you know, point it is in your life with anything that you're doing, and teach them how to deal with that when it happens, because it is going to be reality one day. And that's the thing that worries me about how much we keep, you know, trying to peel back all the layers of everything that could possibly harm our children, because we don't want to see our kids' feelings be hurt. We don't want to see them sad. We don't want to see them go through hard times. We don't want to see them let down. But if we keep peeling all of those things away, they're never going to learn how to deal with it when it happens, because we're hiding it from them for so long, and it's going to happen. And then that's what, and I could be totally going too deep, but to me personally, that's why I feel we have way more entitled children these days, and we have way more depression and anxiety, because the children finally get to a point where that happens in life and they have no way to cope with it because they haven't been taught that. And I'm not just talking about like awards and sports. I'm talking about, you know, how we're just kind of don't want to offend anybody, so we can't do this and we can't do that, and everybody has to follow this path, and you know, regardless of our differences and so, and this and that. It's
yeah,
that's how I feel, you know. I look at my own children and I see it. Mm-hmm. And I have a daughter who's 21 years old, and I see it with her. She cannot handle half of the life situations that I was already dealing with at her age. It's like, and I've taught her how to do these things, but it's not just us that teaches our children, you know, it's society and their friends, and they get, you know, a little bit of information from everywhere. And now it's like simple things. And it just blows my mind. It's like, how do you not know how to deal with this at this point in your life? That's how I feel.
Yeah, I hear you. No, I don't think anybody's wrong. It's all about how you view things and how you choose to parent. I think I heard you say that you don't agree that kids can do anything or be anything that they want to be, like if it's not their lane or if they're not that good at it.
I never said that. Mm-mm.
Okay.
No, I don't think that. I don't think that they can never be what they want to be if it's not their lane and they're not good at it. I think that it really helps children if they're doing something over and over again, trying to get better, and they're not getting better at it, mm-hmm. to introduce them to things that may come natural to them that they are really good at, so that they can flourish and excel in something that they are naturally good at. And then they're less likely to be so down on themselves, trying so hard to, you know, put themselves in a position to compete against somebody that they're probably never going to win against, because everybody has their place and everybody has something that they're good at. And there are so many things that I've wanted to be that I wasn't good at all. And then over time, I found what I was good at. And then you don't feel bad about yourself not being good about the other things because you found your thing. So I don't think that parents should say, no, little Johnny, you suck at soccer, so we're pulling you out. Even though you want to go and you love it, you can't do it. But then let Johnny do the soccer that he's not good at, right? But then also say, hey, Johnny, there's softball. Do you want to try this too? And then maybe Johnny sees, wow, I'm really good at softball. I don't need soccer anymore. This is my thing. That's all I'm saying. Like,
Yeah.
I just think it's good to constantly introduce your children to things that they may excel better at than them putting the pressure on themselves to keep grinding at something that they're just, you, sometimes we just got to accept we're not good at it.
I feel you. I see where you're going with that. But I think that if my kid or whoever really wanted to do something that they weren't good at, I guess I send more of the message of, yes, just keep trying, because with practice, you can do anything in my eyes. And I am going to do whatever I can to grow that and nurture that. So like if the kid wants to play the drums and they suck at it, then we get them drum lessons. Like, you know, you have to almost see how into it they are. Like, I guess I feel, you know, hey, let's try this too. Let's try this other thing. Let's introduce you to these other things.
Right.
But I'm still going to feed. I'm still going to feed the thing that they're not good at, if that's where their heart is. Because like,
well, yeah,
you can be natural at what you do. Like your kid with sports, that's natural. She was born that way. She found her thing. But if like my kid who doesn't play sports really wanted to play basketball, and she wasn't good at it, instead of saying, okay, let's try, you know, soccer, let's try this, and let's look at these other things, I would say, yeah, let's try these other things too, but let's work on basketball. Let's go hard on that. If that's really what you want to do, let's get you some help. Let's, you know, get you into some teams that, you know, some novice type teams to help you build your skills. Let's watch some, you know, I see where you're going with it, but I guess I would do a little bit more to nurture what they want to do.
Well, no, that's actually, I mean, maybe I wasn't saying it correctly, but you're saying exactly what I was trying to get across. Mm-hmm. So I would do both. I'm just saying, if you introduce them to something else that they may be better at, they may make that decision, is what I'm saying. Like, oh, look how good I am at this. This is what I want to focus on, because not only do I enjoy it, but I'm really good at it and I know I'm better at it. And that's like, you know, my oldest, she wasn't a sports child either. She tried. She tried soccer and she tried cross country and she tried volleyball and she tried basketball. She wanted to try everything. So I took her to everything and let her try it and did the little camps and all that. But she just never liked any of it. She wasn't that great at it, which is fine. I'm not an athlete. I wasn't good at any of that either. But I kept saying, well, do you want to try this thing? Do you want to try? And I nurtured everything she wanted to try. And then she found cheerleading. And once I put her in cheerleading, it was like, this is my thing. And so that's like where she flourished and she felt very confident and she was comfortable, and that's where she started to grow, and that's what we went with. But I never said to her, now that you're a cheerleader, you can't try anything else because you suck at it. I just was like, okay, well, if you love cheerleading and that's what you want to do, then let's go for it. And then she just kind of never really asked about anything else and put her all in that. So that's kind of like what I'm saying. I don't want anybody to think I'm saying like, pull your kid out of what they're doing because they suck and find something else. That's not what I mean. I'm just constantly giving them more than one thing to focus on may change their focus. And then, because you want your child to feel confident in what they're doing as well. And eventually that confidence is going to get shattered if they keep trying and keep trying and keep trying, and all these kids around them are doing it and they can't, which is fine. That builds character, but you want them to have something to latch on that they succeed with as well to build that confidence. See what I mean?
Yeah, I hear you. I think that it's really important to also teach them to keep trying and keep trying, because I mean, that's life. I mean, right. You get into college.
I think we're kind of saying the same thing in different ways, to be honest. Like, I mean, I don't know. I feel like we're saying the same thing, but maybe just saying it differently, because I agree with everything that you're saying. I think I'm just, the way I'm bringing it across is not coming out the same as you.
It's all good. I mean, at the end of the day, love that. I mean, we're all parents. We're, you know, we're people who are doing the best we can, you know, with our little people in our lives. So there's really no right or wrong answer. Just bottom line is, we were all trying to make and keep our kids happy guiding them the best that we can, doing what we can. I know that I've tried to open up doors for my kid that I didn't have necessarily for me, and not for lack of parenting, but just lack of money and, you know, knowledge of knowing any better. So I think we both do a good job with that. And that's what all parents strive to do, is just be better than what, you know, how they came up. And I think we both do a pretty good job of that. We both are pretty secure and happy where we are. We've got secure and happy kids. So doing something right, right?
Yeah, I think so. I hope so. I don't know.
We'll see in about 20 or 30 years.
Yeah, I know, right? I feel like it's never ending story. I mean, mine's 21 and I'm still parenting, so it never ends.
It's just about parenting and just doing the best you can. It is what it is. Okay, friend. Well, that was a good episode. A lot of parenting on this one. What do you think?
Yes, it was. I really liked that. I like that we both had different opinions on
quite a bit of things tonight.
Yeah, I like that.
Well, thank you guys for listening to this week's episode. Make sure you follow us on social media, join our Facebook group, wherever you are listening to this, please rate, review, and subscribe, send it to your friends, and we will be chatting with you in the Facebook group. I don't know what we've got on our schedule for next week, but it should be good. So join us.
It will be great.
Yes. Join us for Wine Wednesday. Bye, friends.
Bye.